day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're going to finish the last two short books of the epistles of John. You know, the word John in the Hebrew tongue is Yahweh's gift. And certainly he is a gift in teaching and understanding. And as I have stated, these epistles are preparing you for the book of Revelation. I mean, he lets you know that the Antichrist is coming, of God's love and how he will stand with you. If you'll be with him, you don't have anything to fear other than fear itself. Why? Because he's always there for you. That's his promise, and that's his guarantee. So these little epistles are so very, very important in the preparation for seeing the unveiling of the great apostasy with clarity and understanding, whereby nobody is deceived. So the second epistle of John, let's get into it. And there's only one chapter, so we'll start with verse 1 naturally. And it reads with that word of wisdom, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children." I like to think of this elect lady as God's elect, but also that bride that is spoken of in Revelation 19. As we get there, you'll understand. "Whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." It's family. When, you know, if once you hear the truth, and the truth is settled in your mind, and when you open God's word, clarity flows forth into your mind. Nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can deceive you again once you've heard the real word. And therefore, let man do what man will do, but you stay with those that teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby it is God's wisdom that enters your mind, the truth that makes you part of that elect lady and her family, which is to say the bride of Almighty God, the family of Almighty God. Next verse, please. Verse 2. "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever." God's word never changes. Eons, that is to say, cosmos, time changes. The eons of the cosmos, which is to say the time of the worlds change, but we still have one world. But those times change. But God's word never changes. It is the same yesterday, it is today, and it will be forever. So when you absorb the truth, you're absorbing truth forever, that no one can separate you from the love of God. When you honor that word and know that God's word is so powerful, God's word is an enabler of that is good. Verse 3, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father in truth and love." There you have the Trinity, even if you would, because where those two are, dwells also the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the full titles, our Father, Yahweh, and the Son, Yeshua, which is to say Yahweh's Savior, and Christos, the Anointed One. And that Comforter is the comfort you feel when you absorb that truth. Where? In you. That's what it said. When the truth is in, it dwelleth in us, as it stated in verse 2. Now, if the truth dwells within you, Satan can't deceive you. Because the truth puts him down, and not only does it put him and his false teachings down, but it gives you power over all your enemies, naturally, in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Verse 4. "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." It made me really feel good to even see that the little ones, that you had taught them properly, and even they were obeying the commandment of God to love one another, to follow him, to be with him. And naturally, it made John's heart feel good. Why? Just because he was the one that brought the word and shared it there. And it grew, and it documents that the truth You cannot replace it with some ill-favored doctrine, because the truth will always outweigh it. The truth will always bring you through. The truth, listen to me carefully, the truth will always set you free, as in the great St. John chapter 8, verse 32, so declares. The truth will set you free. Anytime man gives you a doctrine that handicaps you, that closes you in, that handcuffs you, that binds you, throw him out. Okay. You don't need that kind of stuff. It's not truth, because truth always, always sets you free. Truth brings you peace of mind. Peace of mind is something that many people may think they have, but if your peace of mind does not come from the peacemaker of all times, for our Father is not the author of confusion, but peace, understanding. And that cannot be cluttered. It cannot be stirred up. As long as you stick with that truth and let the commandments and the traditions of men fall on deaf ears, as it always does anyway. Verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. The word in the beginning, John is the book that brings that forth. In St. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that word, that commandment, that is eternal, that we love one another, where's the beginning? Unfortunately, many do not understand the beginning. There was an earth age before this one, before the Katabo, the overthrow of Satan. And that in itself brings forth God's, this elect lady, a lady that was not even deceived at the overthrow. She always resisted Satan. That's why, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, before the foundations of the world, I chose you. Why? Because she was worthy. She was worthy to be a bride. She was worthy to serve, because she had that truth from the beginning. Verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments, not the traditions of men, His commandments. That is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Just don't just talk it, but walk it. Be a doer of that commandment. Well, I just have a hard time showing love. Love is strength. Tough love is essential to make you, to be a true Christian. You must practice tough love occasionally. It is more painful to the person exercising, that is to say, issuing tough love, than it is on the person receiving it. Because you love that person, or you wouldn't be practicing tough love with them in the first place, giving them an attitude adjustment. Why? Because you care about them. That is true love. That is the commandment of God. That's why John could say, I could tell by your little children, even as I see them practicing that commandment, that you've spread that truth and they carry it, they wear it. It's obvious. It shows. And so it does even to this day, those that have the Holy Spirit and follow those commandments. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, instead of Christ, a fake. You know, as Jesus would warn in Mark 13 and Luke 21 and Matthew 24, many will come in my name, see that none of them deceive you. They claim to be Christian preachers, but they never quite get around to teaching the truth of God's word. Don't let them deceive you, because it sets up the path, as Mark 13 so clearly stipulates, that a child can understand the coming of the false Messiah. Antichrist. That means instead of Jesus. And those that have been lied to and deceived will think it is the true Christ. You're going to have to live through that, but that's no step for a stepper. That's a time to stand tall, and that's a time to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true, not the fake. In the world, John is laying it out level. You know, there was a survey not too many years ago as to how many practicing pastors actually believed in the virgin birth. It was shocking. Shocking. The percentage that were absolutely filling pulpits down to about 4% only that without any doubt knew that Christ's birth was a virgin birth. And that leaves us in pretty bad shape, and it causes one, you really want to ask questions, and you want to make sure that you're attending. What do you go to church for? To feel good? To pat each other on the back? Or to study God's Word, whereby your life is improved, whereby you're blessed, and whereby you prosper in life? It had better be to study God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby God's blessings can fall on you and your family. Otherwise, you may be listening, and what he's warning here about in this seventh verse, don't participate in the apostasy that he's going to tell you about in the book of Revelation. The great deception. See that you're not sucked in by it. Because many that believe they're on the right track will walk right in. Verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. You don't want to be robbed. And you know, in the book of life, right by your name, and your name is there. And what's by your name, it may be good, it may be bad. It's according to how you live. It's according to when you talk to the Father. But if you have done what is right, and if you're walking that walk, and you're talking that talk, you're a doer and not only a hearer, there is a reward for you. Don't ever let anyone rob you of that, because it is eternal. Absolutely eternal, and you don't want to miss that. Verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. That is a clear statement of fact. And why would you do that? Well, in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a virgin shall conceive, bear a child, and you will call him Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. So if the Son was God with us and you refuse God with us, you refuse God. That's kind of a stretch for some people's poor little minds to grasp that Father would see fit to do if he asked you to come in the flesh and live and experience what we experience in the flesh. He did himself. So that no one can backtalk or say he wouldn't do that. He did. Only he did it perfectly. We don't. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. The apostasy is coming, my friend. The deception is here, and there are many deceivers entered into the world who claim to be Christians, misleading people. God is judge, and that's why this word was sent. Well, why would I not want to wish them Godspeed? My grandpa belonged to that church, and I belong to that church, and I know they teach part wrong, and I shouldn't wish them Godspeed? Well, why? Let's read the next verse. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is the partaker of his evil deeds. You're part of it. You sign on to it, and you become a part. So you've got to be very careful. Hey, if you don't understand this and you don't know any better, enjoy Grandpa's church. Have a good day. Have a good trip. No problem there. But if you know better, you better listen to the word. never help false teachings or you become a signature to it. Not good. I mean, a person that could even have the truth and still be hell bound, that'd be a sad state of affairs. That'd be something you'd have to answer to. Why? Well, I'll read verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed, much less finances it, is a partaker of his evil deeds. The apostasy's coming. Be very careful, my friend. Verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that your joy may be full. I got some real truth I want to share with you firsthand. Verse 13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Family. That's that. That's the way it is. What a short book, but a letter warning. Stay away from the apostasy and the apostates. Don't be a part of them. Don't even wish them Godspeed. Why? Well, you're wishing Godspeed to evildoers. Well, they call themselves Christians. I didn't know they were evildoers. If they're false teachers, they're evildoers. Not, you don't have to judge them. God judges them. The third epistle of John, and we'll go to it. Don't ever forget that second epistle. It's very important, extremely important, if you know better. The third epistle of John, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. This word Gaius means Lord, and he was Lord like of a roadhouse, what, like today we have a motel if somebody's traveling they can stop at. But a roadhouse was more, it was the restaurant, the whole bit, you know, there was very little that people could, in traveling, it was all right there. They were fed, bedded, and were cared for. And this man is probably the lord of a house, and that's why he's called this. Okay, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He's really condemning, he's really commending this manager, owner of this roadhouse. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. You take care of God's own. You put them up. You care for them. I love you for that. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And Gaius certainly walked in the truth. He practiced what he preached. Verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Not only to Christians, but even strangers that were in need. He cared for them. The mark of a true Christian. The mark of a true Christian brother. That's what this Gaius was, the Lord of this house. He didn't use it just to rip people off. He used it to further the plan of God. Verse 6. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a good godly sort, thou shalt do well. You're always helping them out as they're on their journey. You bring them forth. You care for them. We love you for that, brother. Verse 7, because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And what a beautiful thing it is that you would have. Now what we're coming up to, there is a church in this town. The roadhouse is more of a church than the church is. The church is not putting people up. The church is not helping people. The church, you got a pastor down there that's a goody-goody two-shoeser. I mean, he doesn't have time for anybody. And he's not going to help anyone along. And he's got his own little clique. And he's got the church in this town. John's going to give his opinion of him here in a moment. Verse 9. I wrote unto the church, sent a letter. But Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. I mean, the church wouldn't even receive John. Now, that is awesome, isn't it? I mean, he that walked with Christ, he that fellowshiped with Christ personally, firsthand, they wouldn't allow him in that church. You know something? There's a lot of churches today that wouldn't allow Christ in. Well, what do you mean, brother? Well, the first thing they're going to ask, well, are you baptized in our church? And he would say, Christ would have to say, no, I was baptized down on the River Jordan. I'm sorry, you can't be a member of this church. Oh, really? What I mean is, you know, a lot of people talk a mean battle, but they must have the preeminence to think they're the only ones going to heaven, that they miss the boat, they miss the truth, they miss the love, the charity, the understanding that God's children hurt. They need to be picked up. They need to be led. And that's kind of what God wanted the church to do. Not a roadhouse, but a church. Church is not doing it. Wouldn't even receive John. Verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Oh, you got a real winner there. But do you know something? You teach the real truth chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and the so-called church, because they do not teach the word of God, but traditions of men, will talk really bad things about you. They're pratters, and they will do it. Example, I'm accused of being a racist. Well, I wonder why I have so many people of all races in this congregation. I love them, and they love me. But, boy, you read about certain things, and the so-called church would call me a racist because they're liars. They need to come to one of our Passover meetings and see how many different races are present. Or they call me one that would teach against the Trinity. When teaching God's Word, you have to teach the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But there are pratters and people that claim to wear Christian robes that Christ is not happy with. I mean, Christ was the Word. And when people won't accept the Word of God, then that's a church you don't want to be in. Okay? Because you're wishing God speed to evil works. See that you're not a part of it. We judge no one. God is the judge. But you make your own bed, and guess what? You're going to sleep in it. Learn the truth and be free. Don't be tied up by a bunch of pratters, or you'll go down Primrose Lane, a sad, very sad sack. Verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. You know, that's simple, isn't it? He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. That old boy down at that church that claims to be the pastor there, he hasn't even seen God. Well, brother, how can you say that? That's judging. No, it's not judging. Just made the statement from the Word of God. Anyone that does evil and that prating and malicious gossip and ordering even John out of the church is evil. He hasn't seen God. doesn't know God. He serves a God that he knows not. This is why I like God. I like John's word when he said, "Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds. I'll take care of the character." And John knew how to do it real quick. He knew how to do it in quick work. And so that's why he added that particular verse, 11. Verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men, the one that brought the letter, most likely, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record that you know our record is true. It's obvious from Gaius and his abode and the people that came through there. He had the truth. Well, how could you tell whether he had the truth or not? Because he practiced it. He didn't just talk it. He walked it. He didn't just hear it. He was a doer. He did it. Did the word of God. Put it out there in practice whereby people could see the presence of the Holy Spirit. Leading, guiding, directing, assisting, comforting, helping people to know the true love of Almighty God. Don't ever, ever let some man get between you and that light that our Father is, the Father of light. Don't ever let him cast a shadow between God and yourself of lies, prating, and misleading statements. You, in the first place, you don't have to worry about it. You see, it isn't only John that is coming to set the record straight, but the Messiah himself is returning. You know, the first advent was a wonderful, beautiful thing. When he saw our Father's house that had been turned into a money-changing operation with selling mite-infested doves to give you something quick to give to the Lord, he pratted him a cat of nine tails and went in and he cleaned house with that whip. Overturned the money tables. And a lot of people say, well, I can't believe Jesus would. He did it. He cleaned house. But do you know something? It isn't John that's coming back alone. Christ is returning. This time he's not riding a burro. He's riding a great white steed. And his staff is not a cat of nine tails. It's a rod of iron. He's going to clean house. He's going to clean house again. This is why he wept that cup could be passed on. There was no way. He's got to do it. That's tough love. He knows how to dish it out. He had to take it, did he not, on the cross. He knows how to dish it out. He knows how to put a church back in the order that it should be. God first. Following him. His word. God is the word. Has been from the beginning. All a man has to do is absorb it. Take it within yourself. Follow it. Do it. And be blessed of God. Why so many people will let themselves be ensnared by silly things of the world is beyond me. When there are so many important things serving God that need be done. Next verse, please. Excuse me, verse 13. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. I've got a lot of things I want to say, little warnings I want to give you as we're talking around about this Antichrist coming. Because as you know, in the first book, he didn't say maybe the Antichrist is coming. He said, little children, it's the last time. The Antichrist is coming. And so it is that he prepares for the great apostasy, that you're not deceived, not leaving you helpless, but with the word of God to ensure your safety, to ensure your knowledge, whereby you're able to resist all temptations and be a champion of the people, the sister to this elect lady, that is to say, the bride of Christ. Verse 14, and I trust I shall shortly see thee. and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee, that peace that comes only from God's word, no other way. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. You be personal to the fellow servants, and let the love spring forth of truth, the truth that sets us free, the truth that takes care of people like the pastor of that church that wouldn't even invite John in. It's kind of sad, isn't it? Claimed to be a church. All they were a bunch of pratters. Maybe you've run across somebody like that in a group that calls themselves a church, and you've seen these same evidences that you got to do. You got to be in bondage. You divorce people, get to the back. Don't try to teach these children. No, Christ doesn't teach forgiveness. Christ doesn't have the authority to forgive sin. What kind of group would that be? That if one repents, they have a clean start. Any church that wouldn't teach that is ignorant of God's word. I don't judge. God is judge. All right, bless your hearts. I hope you enjoyed these epistles of John, and as much as I enjoyed bringing them to you. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular prater, denomination, reverend, or anyone else. We don't judge people. We do have the right to discern who we fellowship with and so forth. God gives us that right. But don't judge. God is the judge, and He doesn't need our help. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give your mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Now, got a prayer request. You don't need the number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He created your very being, your soul. He made it different than anyone else's. Well, why would He do that? Because He wanted somebody just like you. But He wanted you to give Him pleasure. That's why He created everything. How long has it been since you gave our Father pleasure? Well, how do I do that? Tell Him you love Him. Talk to Him. Let Him know you do love Him. And to worry is to doubt every promise of God. Don't go there. Look up and enjoy, for our Heavenly Father does love His children. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen, amen. All right. And question time. Linda from California. What verses do I use to prove to someone that Cain is the son of the devil? I know about one in Genesis, but are there others throughout the Bible? There sure are. You know, you understand that the tares in Matthew 13 are the Kenites. And to understand how they came to be and who their father is, all you have to do is begin reading with verse 35, that secret that has been kept from the foundation of the world. Who sowed the bad seed and who sowed the good seed? That's children. And then if you want to know who the first murderer was, naturally you know that was Cain. And in the great Saint John, this author, scribe at the hand of Almighty God, John himself, would write in Saint John chapter 8, verse 44, the first murderer, you are the children and the offspring of the first murderer. That's Cain. No ifs, no ands, no maybes. And you are of your father, the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. So it doesn't get much plainer than that. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you either believe Christ or you believe some ratchet jaw. Which is it? Okay, that's truth, and I know you. I know you're a believer in it, and God bless you. Heidi from Arizona. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5, 6, and 10. These verses state that the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Please help me. You know, to understand Ecclesiastes, you have to understand that it's written to the man that walks under the sun, meaning flesh body, telling us how to get along in a flesh body. All he's telling you in that ninth chapter is that when the living know, you know the flesh is going to die, because why? Well, it's perishable. It gets diseases and wears out. And when after it dies, it doesn't know anything again. Why? It goes back to dirt. The real you is the spiritual body, spoken of in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The spirit, the intellect of your soul, meaning your soul, returns instantly to the Father in your spiritual body. You're through with the flesh body. And once we're through with the flesh body, it's gone. It goes back to the dirt from which it came. Again, read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. It can't be made any plainer than that. But you have to understand that Ecclesiastes was written telling us God sent these instructions along with the flesh man, knowing how to find happiness and understanding and to find peace of mind. And Betty from Minnesota. I want to follow up further. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 35 again. Be not ignorant of this one thing. You have two bodies. A flesh body and a spiritual body. Okay, your spiritual body is the real you. Betty from Minnesota, where did the serpent seed line come from? A question from our Bible study. Example, please. Well, it's real simple. It's the chapter 3 in the great book of Genesis, verses 15 and 16. God talking to the serpent. I will put enmity between thy seed, that's serpent seed, and the woman's seed, that's the child, meaning Christ. You will bruise his heel, and he will bruise your head, meaning they're going to crucify Christ and nail him to the cross. It's one of the first prophecies of the Bible. But the last part of that hasn't happened, where Christ bruises the head of the serpent, meaning Satan. He's going into the lake. Donna from California. I know the earth is millions of years old, and then Satan rebelled and God made the earth void. It took him 6 days, no man's days, to straighten everything out. My question, do we know when Satan's rebellion occurred? Was it millions or thousands of years ago? We can pretty well figure that Satan's rebellion, the great cattle bow, it finally came to a head, if you understand. I'm sure it was many years working up to it. But it came to head about 14,000 years ago. We can make that by the destruction and the overthrow of the earth at that time. When God made the earth void, how did he do this? With fire, earthquakes, volcanoes, hail, and meteor, all of it. Okay. When God gets ready to shake the earth, and even the earth itself cries out for the return of Christ, the earth itself in earthquakes and other things, cries for the return of Christ, the way man pollutes, and the earth wants to go back to its original shape. No jet streams. The firmament put back to protect us where we don't have jet streams, but perfect weather year-round everywhere, from the North Pole to the South Pole. That perfect atmosphere in spiritual bodies. It doesn't get any better than that, and we all look forward to it. The plates of this earth God uses and has used, this is why I feel it's so very important for everybody to plan a trip to Ash Fall, Nebraska, the state park, to see nothing but African animals in America, right in the middle of it, you might say, from those plates. How did African animals, this is zebras and camels and birds from Africa, and you see it, and it documents the Word of God. Fantastic. Sally from Minnesota, I hear you mention divorce and needing to repent. 5 years ago, my husband divorced me against my will. I did not want the divorce, and I told him so. I'm confused as to why or what I should repent for. Whoa, whoa. I said, if you have any part in causing it, you need to repent. Okay? If you have no part in it, then you don't have to repent. And God sets you free. Things do not work out for him the way he expected. Am I a bad person not wanting to hear from him? No, not at all. Look what he did to you. That's your right. Okay? You didn't... So you're okay, and you have nothing to repent for. He sounds like he's got a lot to repent for. Robert from California, were there other women in the Garden of Eden with Eve? What are the scriptures to I can refer to? Well, the six-day creation. God created male and female, and populated the earth. He made some hunters and some fishers. And then he rested the eighth day, and on the eighth day he made a different man. It's called in the Hebrew tongue manuscripts, Eth Ha'adam. And that is the Adam and the Eve through which Christ would come, the Savior. Robert from Louisiana, were there other people besides Noah and his family on the ark? Please provide reference. Genesis chapter 6, God's instructions to Noah. Take two of every flesh aboard the ark. The other races were created on the sixth day. They were here. And look around you today. The races are still with us, along with Noah's family and the Eth Ha'adam family. And so it is. Robert from Louisiana, was Adam the father of Cain and Abel or just one? What are the scriptures I can I refer to? Genealogies. Do you believe the Word of God? The Word of God has Cain's genealogy, that's to say his offspring, in chapter 4 of Genesis. Adam's genealogy you will find in chapter 5. You will not find Cain in the genealogy of Adam, meaning he was not Adam's offspring. Well, a lot of people, you won't find Abel there either. No, because Cain murdered him. There was no progeny. But you will not find Cain as the offspring of Adam in his genealogy. Genesis chapter 5, it's so simple, a child can read it for himself. He's not there. Why? Well, I think that John kind of told us why, and I think that the Lord himself did in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 35, when he told us about the wicked seed. A lot of people need to wake up. There's a lot of things happening in this world, and if you have blinders on to the truth, it's difficult to rightly divide the Word of God to show yourself approved, whereby you can overcome the great apostasy. We live in a time that one really needs to pay attention. Gary from Maryland. Sir, thank you for your welcome. I enjoy doing God's teaching. I know the book of Revelation mentions the number 666 as being the brand of the beast. I believe I saw it in the Bible, but I didn't write down the scripture. But, well, you'll find it in Revelation 13, verse 18. Would you please tell me where I can find where it's stated that the mark of the beast is anyone who opposes the word of God? Well, the mark of the beast is where? It's in the forehead. A lot of people think it's, you know, false teaching that it's a brand on the outside. No, it's what's in your head. What's in your forehead? Your brain. And it's supposed to, the word of God is supposed to dwell there. And you're not supposed to be deceived by the beast system and his lies in your forehead. So that's what it has reference to. Where can I find Melchizedek? Hebrews, the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3, documents that Melchizedek was Jesus Christ. Okay. Melchizedek, Melchizedek is king of the just, of the righteousness. There's only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Joseph from Kentucky. Where in the Bible is the men who did not want to marry his brother's wife, and then God killed him and other brothers that followed? What study material should I order for this? Well, you want to be real careful, or you could deceive yourself. You're thinking, I'm pretty sure, about Luke chapter 20, verse 28. What Christ was teaching was not that a brother, as by old law, should leave seed to his brother, but that in heaven they don't give in marriage, nor do they take in marriage, because they are as angels, meaning they're in spiritual bodies. That's what he was teaching. So Luke chapter 20, verse 28, don't get sidetracked. Pastor Murray, who do we have here? This is Doran from Florida, and where's my question? My question is, who was his successor, and how did Abram know to tie it to him? Do you have any teachings on this subject? That's got to be Melchizedek, but where is the question? I was recently in discussion with a group of friends about Melchizedek. There it is. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. The Melchizedek, translate it from the Hebrew back to English. He's the king of the upright. He's king of the Zadok, which is to say the upright, the elect. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no other. This is why you want to remember, read the first chapter of St. John, read the first 10 verses, and you'll find that Christ was in the beginning. So no big marvel that the King of Peace was also met Abraham. Gregory from Georgia. Question. Am I wrong for tithing to Shepherd's Chapel rather than the church which I'm a member? Well, you know, you tithe where you're fed. God's Word. That's what church is about. And you have to make your own mind up. There's nothing wrong with splitting a tithe if that church is teaching you also, if it's feeding you. You tithe where you're fed. Well, what is the common sense in that? If you're being fed, you want to keep that coming. Otherwise, it may not come. And then you would be minus. So that's why you always wish Godspeed to where knowledge and wisdom and God's Word comes from. Brittany from Ohio. How do we know that the Bible was written for us when the Bible was written as letters to people at that time? Well, because the letter was written to groups of people as they migrated, but then we are still people in that migration. You would have to know that the 10 northern tribes that the letters were written to went north over the Caucasus Mountains, were called Caucasians, settled Europe, many later moving to Canada and the Americas. And the whole thing is written to those people. That's why America is the superpower of superpowers. And that's why she will always reign supreme. We have fought socialism and communism. Every country that's ever gone to socialism has failed. Why? Because it's a miserable failure. You're coming out the gate. Okay. And that's why this nation is great, and that's why many of us have shed blood fighting socialism and communism. And that's why this great nation will always be great and wonderful, because the people won't have anything but what is right. That's why the letter is written to those that have ears to hear. Pamela from Illinois. Pastor, why do they say that Christianity is a religion when actually it is a faith? Well, it's a reality, and it is faith. So Christianity is life, and it is not only life now, it's life eternal. And you hear me say many times, you hear me say it many, many times, Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality, it's your life. Paul from Mississippi. On 2:16:10, you were reading out of Isaiah 55, and you stated that out of David came Jesus Christ. What did you mean by that? Well, out of that genealogy, yes, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, naturally, that's as it was. And that's what it's talking about, out of the root of Jesse. Okay, and looks forward to Messiah, his coming, and how fantastic it is. That Father does not leave us wanting, but he writes this letter. It isn't written really to men. It's written to certain groups of men. It's written to all men, whomsoever will. It's a beautiful word, and certainly that's what it meant there in the great book of Isaiah. Barbara from Indiana. In what book of the Bible does it talk about the Word and the Word is with God? You have to be thinking about St. John chapter 1, verse 1, which reads, I'll say it again, St. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. You can have a great understanding of the Trinity of the Godhead if you read that and listen to it very closely. Especially when you continue on in that first chapter of St. John and read on, and you find that the Word itself became flesh and walked among us. Great, great understanding. Pam from Georgia. In Genesis, what did it mean when God said, let's make man in our own image, and where did the different races come from? Well, he had created the races on the sixth day. And he created them in the image that they were. Okay. God loves his people. And he created us the way we are because that's the way he wants us. That's why no man had better ever apologize for his race in front of me. Because you would be going against God's will. Against God's creation. So it is. That's why... we each of us look as we look and act as we act, and so it is. Daniel from Illinois. Pastor Murray, Genesis chapter 6, verse 19, it states, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. Can I use this to document in which races is mentioned? Sure you can. They were flesh. Quite frankly, even the Kenites were flesh. The only ones that he did not want aboard the ark was those that caused the flood in the first place. Who was that? Well, read Genesis 6. The Nephilim, the fallen angels, came and partook of daughters of Adam and Geber. Giants were born. I mean... They were half breeds, or you could call them hybrids, which destroyed or would destroy God's plan of the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the woman. So God had to destroy the Geber and the Nephilim off of the earth, and the others. There you have it. Okay. Kathy from Texas, can you explain the names of God, Yahweh and Yeshua? You simply spell Yahweh two different times here, and Yeshua. Yahweh comes from God's word of saying, I am that I am. Okay. In the Hebrew tongue, it's Iyah Ashaiyah. And the etymology of that makes up the very consonants that create YHVH. It's not YHWH, as some say. God's manuscripts lock in the correct spelling of the sacred name. Don't ever let a man deceive you in that. The correct spelling is locked in the manuscripts, okay? And in both the book of Psalms and in the book of Esther. Yeshua is the name of Christ. That's Jesus. You're simply saying Jesus in the Hebrew tongue. Yeshua is being fully translated as Yahweh's Savior. And that's who Christ was. And we're out of time again. Hey, I love you all. I hope you've enjoyed these epistles of John as much as, again, as I've enjoyed bringing them to you. Most of all, God loves you for it. Studying His Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse makes His day. When you make our Father's Day, boy, is he going to make yours. You can count on it. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, don't you ever forget this. If you want a good life, stay in His Word every day. In His Word, even with trouble, it's still a good day. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.